Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Just to reiterate that we will only be focusing on the findings and observations which are on page 14 of the report. The rest of the report is what we basically dealt with. The first section is the introduction. The second, third, fourth, fifth, tenth, sixth section are those that we, the fifth section, we dealt with already in November last year when the government gave us the briefing on the 2019-20 quarter one and two. So on the finding and observation, we note that 6.1, 6.2, 6.3, and 6.4 are captured exactly the same way as in the 2018-19 fourth quarter report, purely because the department reported the same thing. So those were the findings as we reported. Going to 6.5, the department continues to face the possibility of being in non-compliance of the Division of Revenue Act regulations under Program 3, which is the EPWP. It also faced challenges when client departments such as the presidency couldn't forward invoices to pay contractors on time following the inauguration of the president. The committee was also concerned that this may feature in the audited outcomes of the annual financial statements in October 2020. The committee says the department should inform the committee of the steps that was put in place to address this matter to avoid a negative audit opinion from the office of the AG. On 6.6, the committee raised the challenge with the politicization of the selection process of beneficiaries to the EPWP project. I think this was also a recommendation in one of the budget board reports, BRRR, budget review and regulations. Yeah. 6.7, in the non-profit organization sector, the EPWP reported reasonable success with employing beneficiaries with disabilities. In other sectors, the numbers of beneficiaries with disabilities required intervention. It had to be understood that in the sector such as infrastructure, the numbers might naturally be lower as the physical nature of certain projects prevented the full participation of people with disabilities. The department was engaging with a range of organizations working in the disability sector to arrange a two-day colloquium to share ideas of methods through which people with disabilities can participate in higher numbers. And I think the committee here raised an interest in attending one of these colloquia. 6.8, the committee questioned again the 10.5 million that was allocated to the parliamentary villages, Honorable Graham, management board. The chief financial officer of the department explained that it was specifically allocated for the transportation of members of parliament to and from parliament, as well as for the transportation to schools for children residing in the parliamentary village. So this 10.5 was mainly on that, and then the previous 9.5 was for the parliamentary village's board.
Yeah, for the refurbishment.
For the refurbishment.
The other 10 million.
Thank you. on 6.9, the proper provision of invoices by contractors and service providers was a major contributor to under expenditure. The department was continuing with the fast tracking of the payments of invoices within the required time frame of 30 days. And we would have noted also in Pretoria when we visited the department where the minister took us to the Riapatala unit where they fast tracked the payment of invoices. 6.10, disciplinary processes into alleged fraud and corrupt activities were always protracted. This enabled such employers to resign before they could account for such allegations in court, as I previously presented. The current legislation is silent on how to deal with employees who resigned at the tail end of the investigation processes into alleged corrupt activities. And also, the committee also raised a point that there is no system, there's no linkage in terms of governmental systems to prevent one employee who has run out of one department to the other and prevent them to employ there. And the trend of resigning and moving to employment in other departments and regions was unfortunately continuing because of the lack of such control. Thank you, Chairperson. I'll pause with
you. Thank you, Mala. Can I then note the members? Honorable Chin, Honorable Graham, Honorable Hickley, Honorable Matibula.
Thank you. I jumped the gun. I think I covered already about three of my.
So the first
was the concern about targets not being met, except for I think it's management in program one and prestige policy in program five. I think in between we're finding that certainly it's concerning that targets are made within the different programs. But are not being met. I think that's the first concern. The second concern was on page 8 of the report. There was an under expenditure, a total under expenditure of some 170 million rand. If you total those amounts of 28 million, 33.4 million, 116, 4.5, 20.9 million, about 170 million in total of under expenditure that's up to this quarter two. So I think that again, Chair, is a cause for concern, particularly in the light of challenges that we have where posts are not being filled, huge unemployment problem that we have in South Africa where money is available that could be used to fill posts, help reduce the unemployment rate. It's not been done. And these are some of the inefficiencies within the department. And just a note there that I saw that the prestige had a variance of I think it was 29.7%, the largest variance in terms of under expenditure. That was on page seven, a budget of 119.9 million, and at quarter two, just 41%. Of that actually being spent, so it is in terms of expenditure, it is one of the programs that has the lowest expenditure with the largest variance. So it's something that we need to also keep our eyes on. Apparently, also on page 8, it indicated that there were no invoices. That's from the prestige. No invoices from the inauguration of the presidential inauguration. So they were still waiting for invoices, and I don't know whether that has been forthcoming or whether that is still the case. Chair, but a concern on page 12, 13 of the report. Page 12, 13 speaks to no transfers in the non-state sector. So if one looks at the bottom of page 12, non-state sector work opportunities, 719 million allocated, but it says none of the allocations was transferred by the end of the second quarter. So again, serious concern. You have 719 million being allocated, but by the end of the second quarter, nothing has been done.
So you've got 719 million, you know, three quarters of a billion rand sitting. The same can be said with regards to the non-state wage, non-wage costs. There was 31.4 million, and then it says the allocation was not spent at the end of the second quarter. And Chia, again, these are also non-brainers. You know, you have money that has been allocated. These are job creation opportunities,
mm-hmm.
and it's just not happening. Then I think just a correction on 4.3, the payment for capital assets received an allocation of 23.2 million 2019-20 compared to 23.5 million, an increase. It actually should be a decrease.
Mm.
So if we look at 2019, it's actually been a decrease of and not an increase. And then I think finally, Chair, on page 14, it's just the only five of the number of protocols that were signed. And I think that it indicated that there were five of 15 protocols that were signed. And I think that the challenges there also is just the number of protocols. If one looks at those four bullet points, really some challenges in terms of what should be done. And I think that in the fourth quarter report, it also spoke about the inadequacy of the policy unit, that there were shortcomings. And I don't know whether this is as a result of the shortcomings within the policy unit or also other departments that are, you know, targets here, 5 out of 15 more than 33% success rate. And that cannot be acceptable. We have 15 protocols that ought to have been signed or ought to have been achieved, and you only have five that have been achieved. So the bullet three there of the 510,000 odd of a targeted, so 510,000 of a targeted 981,000 work opportunities reported in the reporting system. So there's a revision even in terms of EPWP. And again, Chair, can we afford this with such a high unemployment rate in the country? So I think serious concerns, and unless we are able to address these inefficiencies, I think that we are going to find major challenges when we come to the budgeting process.
Thank you,
Chair.
First of all, if you look at the percentage of targets achieved for quarter one and quarter two, on IGR, they've achieved 0% of their targets, and yet they've spent over 50% of their budget. So what on earth are they spending their money on if they're not achieving any of their targets? And that also relates to this whole issue with regard to the employment of people that are undergoing disciplinary proceedings, etc., etc. If IGR was functioning effectively, this is part of the information that should be shared across the spectrum with respect to intergovernmental relations. So there should be something in place where people are saying, okay, these are the people currently undergoing disciplinary inquiries. These are the people who resigned prior to the outcome of the disciplinary inquiry. Please be alerted. I mean, they've just appointed somebody as a DG in the Eastern Cape who was found guilty of massive amounts of fraud, and she's now the DG of agriculture or something in the Eastern Cape. So that sort of thing should just not be happening if IGR processes are functional and effective. So that's the one thing. The other thing is, again, we need to bang on a little bit about the 460 vacancies, etc., etc. I mean, we've only spent 44% of our salary on employment, for 44% of what should have been spent already on compensation of employees.
So, and then we've gotten rid of more. So that's got to be addressed. We have to address that shortfall. Also on page 14, that just about findings and observations, the last bullet point, 154 of a planned 290 public bodies reporting on EPWP targets provided with technical support. One of the big issues they have with respect to EPWP is the lack of reporting. Now they've only given 50% of who's required to report any support and that. So are more going to be done? Are those the only ones that were required to get support? So if we could just maybe ask that question coming up. And then, yeah, again, with respect to that 6.10, the disciplinary process, surely if somebody there's an allegation of corruption, it has a criminal charge has to be laid as well. You are complicit in corruption if you are aware of corruption or you have an idea that corruption is happening and you do nothing. So if somebody's being investigated for corruption, I understand people say, well, we've got to wait until there's evidence. If there's sufficient evidence to be investigating, then surely we should be laying criminal charges. And that, again, if there are criminal charges pending against people, that's public knowledge, and that's another way where we can avert people getting away with it. It doesn't help just to be doing the process internally, then they leave, and then the process is dropped because there's nobody to prosecute internally. So we need to be emphasizing the need for when there are allegations of corruption, the charges need to be laid at the police as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Again, I go back to on page 5, we talk about the discontinuation of the Academy plan due to financial constraints. If my memory serves me correctly, we invested quite a lot of money in this academy, and we were told 8 months ago that everything was on track and things were moving according to plan. And what was that money spent on? Where is it? And why is it suddenly now that we are all in, it's now disappeared from view? I move on, a lot of what I was going to bring up was covered out by my colleague Wayne Tring. The EPWP and work opportunities target for youth and women. None of the legal verification processes have been signed. The memorandum of agreement with implementing agents, there's a delay in signing that. We have such unemployment challenges in this country, and we are delaying facilitating mechanisms where people can have work opportunities that become upliftment and skills opportunities as opposed to a stepping stone to being in the system. And yet these memorandums of understanding are not, or memorandums of agreement are not being signed. It really is a concern for me, as is the very low performance of the PMTEs in terms of targets for quarters 1 and 2. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you very much, Chair. My involvement was in relation to the issue of officials who happen to, commit some corrupt acts, and after that they decide to leave the department simply because they fear that they are going to be found to have acted wrong. And as a result of that, we are being stopped by the law from pursuing them. Now, I just want to check, in fact I want to propose that it must come from this department, because we are legislators, that we are able to make a proposal to the laws that are governing issues when an official jumps ship and then we can no longer pursue any department that has done something that is no longer within the department. That we make a proposal to such things that we are able to, because I'm sure that we can, because we had quite a number of people who have gone spot after stealing millions and millions of which were actually meant for that we make a proposal that we make that seems that we are able to you know, to pursue the person. But then another thing that I want to talk about is this 30-day hindrance. I know that the department has said it over and over again that our hindrance to meet the 30-day payment is because invoices are not out the same time. That we are able to kind of, you know, come up with the policy position. To say that you must be able to stick to a 30-day or within 10 or within certain period, but your invoice must be paid within 30 days. Now, if we do not do that, we are running a risk of underspending because some of these monies they carry over to the new transition. And some of these contractors, some of them need to meet delivery. Okay, of course, some of them do or not meet delivery. But if they know that there is a policy or there's law in place or an agreement in the contract that they have to stick with and fail to stick with that, then there will be penalties that will be imposed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
In terms of the report, if you check, page 4, Department of Consequences came to me and reported the following challenges raised during this quarter. That is But the same information, if you check on page 5, it is still there again. Why does it get attention? The same information just like I said. If you check page 4, the census
test. Yes, that's fine.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll start with the very last one. It was an error on our side because it's the PMCE and the department.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, it was an error on our side, so we shall delete the second part. I apologize for that. And then Honourable Swing made a comment about targets not being met. This issue was also raised with the department. It's unfortunate that with both reports that we're considering today, we've been in the same picture. So it went on from 2018-19 into 2019-20. We're yet to see what's going to happen on the third quarter and the fourth quarter. The IGR 0% target as well as the 50 budget spent. My colleague here was just advising me that some of the programs were under, or some of the activities that were reported on there were already under some of the programs. Were reported on under some of the programs. So that then explains this just the 50% spent. On the same item.
Okay.
On the fraud and corruption and the, in terms of the alleged officials who are jumping ship from one department to the other, I think there was a discussion in the committee around this point in which the committee felt that there should be a consultation with the CPSO. Because that's where that policy should fall into. It's the DPSA that's responsible for IGR activities mainly. So they're the ones who must then have certain tight controls in terms of what happens to an official who has been alleged to have defrauded a particular department. And during the time in which the person is still undergoing investigation, are they or are they not allowed to move to another department? And I think it's one of those things that we need to take through with the department to ensure
mm-hmm.
that they meet they meet with the DPSA as well. Honorable Hicklin, the Public Works Academy and the funds. I think in the last meeting when we were talking about this, I'm not sure if you were present, but the DG was adamant that it's impossible
mm-hmm.
to follow through with it. However,
mm-hmm.
I think Shuaib will be able to dwell further on this item in terms of what then happened to the funds
mm-hmm.
that were allocated to it. I'll hand over to Shuaib just quickly. Let me quickly wrap up before I hand over to him. Honorable Matebola, I've already covered the issue of interdepartmental officials who are moving from one department to the other while they are under investigation. The non-payment of invoices, or rather the late payment of invoices, which you are referring to in this case, in which it was the culprit was the presidency, who was reported to have only sent the invoices much later because of the inauguration. The reasons are not specified as of why they did that, but that has led to the under expenditure then in terms of the reporting of the department during that term, because that's when the inauguration took place. So obviously if the invoices are not paid on time, that was reported as under expenditure. Thank you, Chairperson. I'd like to hand over to you to clarify the point of the Public Works Academy.
Thank you, Chair. The two things I need to talk about is the Public Works Academy, and then there's another thing around something that Honorable Queen raised, the non-state sector, 719 million, etc. I need to just explain a bit more. But before that, just the last point Nola made links to something that members raised. Now the fourth quarter 2018-19 report, as well as this one, has always come up again. That program 5, that is the one of which Nola just referred to, where Treasury went. Presidency, for instance, did not forward invoices to the president.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore the department could have paid within the stipulated period. That's not just for inauguration that budget. Also the state funeral. And the problem with state funerals is you cannot. But let's go to the invoices. The problem with the invoices is that sometimes the service providers that you use, and that happens in this regional office and the Victoria regional office, it also happens with the work done on the villages, etc., and ministerial relations, that the service providers are not being assisted all the time by the Department of Public Works. So when we went and we went to see Revatala in action, the minister showed us, the only reason why payments are coming to above 80% for the invoice was because the minister is focusing on it and the officials are not doing their work. There's also a need for supply chain management to do what we call walk-in invoice.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do that because Treasury does not issue attractiveness that says walk-in invoice. The unfortunate situation is that public servants don't need
a
Bible and then, except for the Bible, a priest to hold their hand
mm-hmm.
to do their work.
Mm-hmm.
This is something very serious that members can deal with. So you know what I'm doing. I mean, I'm talking here about, if you speak to public servants and they, honestly, senior management will tell you, we only work to get a report done to come to you.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're idle. So it's that type of thing that lies behind this 30-day invoice. The other aspect around the Public Works Academy.
Your Honourable, it's useful if a member is not around and fixes a knee and then comes back and then raises something, as if we are still at that time when the promise was made, because that's what Honourable Eklund is doing. We got strange responses.
No, we did.
From the DG and the minister. And I'm glad to feel over here. Because prior to this minister coming in, the Public Works Academy was the solution to get PMTE to work excellently. It was actually called a center of excellence in strategic plans, etc. Now, we had a situation where the minister actually said in front of the senior staff, I was misled around this. But now, members are now seeing in this quarterly performance report that targets are not met, yet money is spent. And your question is, what's it spent on? There is the response that we got in 2019 in the hotel called Pepper Club was in that bottom room there.
Yeah,
they had nice
coffee.
They had nice coffee and sweets. Lots of sweets. There, we were told that the reason why that happened is because, oh no, this is what we were told. The Public Works Academy is not really dead, as you were told. Because some of the sub-programs were always going to form part of the envisioned Public Works Academy. And so the money that you see being spent doesn't give us the target being achieved, but it's part of the program that are being spent. So that money gets subtracted because of the program. I'm not giving the explanation, I'm not working there, I'm saying that was your response. Now, just because I'm done with what I'm supposed to do, but just to say, and the chair may, in their concluding remarks, also make reference. Now they introduced and said, and if you look at the introductory portion of these reports, it says what we're busy with here is a quarterly performance report that contains non-financial and financial information. It is the department giving effect to its compliance to the Public Finance Management Act. From section 32 to section 39. I have to emphasize that because people think it's just 32. That forms part of the DG's contract, by the way. The accounting officer's contract. Those sections. Now, so they gave effect to it. They report to Treasury, and then they report to us. Please look out that you do not get a response to Treasury's remarks when they report to you. You actually do get that. The cleaned up version. Okay. But my point here is that the fourth quarter, we didn't have to report on the fourth quarter. We didn't have to expose the fourth quarter to the committee. It was a strategic decision so that you could have insight into where it comes from before you do the first quarter, which is really part of your time. So you had the first and the second quarter. Why do we do this? We don't do this just to have an 80 seat and sit in front of people or three jobs. This is the building block of October 2020 budgetary review and recommendation. And sometimes honorable members are going to hear the same thing over. Now, the 790 million that sits there and has been spent, and the honorable thing is very worried, you've got lots of unemployed people, why don't you spend the money? And non-sector. What does non-sector mean? It's NGOs. They're supposed to create these jobs, jobs. We were, again, at Pepper Club, we were told that the researcher myself was very worried when they heard this, prior to that. The IDT has a footprint across the country. And because of that, and because of the challenge for EPWT to verify as per the Auditor General's report properly, better,
how the non-state sector is doing with their job creation, this becomes part of the IDP delivery to public work. So that aspect is there. And the reason why the 790 was not spent at that time of this quarter's report, or the second, first and second quarter, is because at that stage they did not sign memoranda of agreement and understanding yet. They were in the process. And they assured us, and I think the IDP gentlemen were pretty attentive, they assured us, these things are running already. The jobs are on the go. The NGOs are working. The money is just being held back because due process must follow. Remember, it's an issue of identity documents being checked so we don't have go six beneficiaries, etc. So that process is closed, spending on the But of course, we're getting a report when now? Fourth of March, we're getting the next quarter report. And all these issues must be addressed from public, center of excellence, public academy, to the state. This one is also, by the way, a big worry for us around the audit findings. It very often gives us CPWP a bad audit finding, and the department does not get the normal audit finding, which is, by the way, one of their targets.
Chairperson, just to wrap up, we, as my colleague has alluded, we're going to have a briefing by the DPWI and the PMC on the 4th of March on third quarter financial performance. So we urge the honourable members to be on the lookout for most of these things, because when we worked on these two reports, we found so many similarities from one era to the other. And I'm not preempting doom, but I can assure you that some of these things are still going to crop up in the next report as well. Now, what assists us mainly as a committee to conduct oversight over the department and hold it accountable is the information that our researcher usually produces prior to our meeting, where she would highlight the issues that were coming, that are stemming from the previous quarters, and what is it that we need to be on the lookout for. With that, thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Lola. I think you have explained this clearly, that as part of our tracking and monitoring, we need to look out for the truth. When we deal with this health concept, we must look out for this issue that we raise in the session. In fact, up to the issue that we will deal with the annual report, we must look at this issue. But even this issue of if it is possible, which I suspect, highly suspect, the issue of cut and pay. The issue of cut and pay. We can't have something that is reported that day, compared to this day, compared to this day. That means when they move from here, there's nothing that is being done. The issue of their cut, they will deal with this. Because you get different responses from the same department. It's just different responses from the same department. But what is crucial, one of the members, is that we know. And then when we deal with the third quarter, what is this issue? How far have you gone? Because in the second quarter you said, in the first quarter you said, on this net. So that is going to also make our work easier. We every day we must always be vigilant of the things that the department is doing. Honourable members, we are almost at the end of our talk. We are not almost end of our meeting. I really appreciate the interaction, the robust debate that was done, and also the fact that the agreed all the parties on one budget. That one needs to be taken. And then we then have to adopt the two reports that we deliberated upon. I think we start with the first one, the 2018-19 fourth quarter report. Honorable Jobo?
Thank you, Chairperson. I move that the report be adopted.
Thank you, Honorable Jobo. Tender, Honorable Yuklin. The first report has been adopted. The second one, 2019-2020, first and second quarter report. Honorable Tru?
Move to adopt.
And the second one, Honorable Jobo. Okay, thank you, Honorable members. We're going back for